From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, you'll hear a message from God's Word brought by Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing to study the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns is preaching on the subject, Christ, the Pattern of True Greatness, in dealing with the disciples wrangling over which of them should be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. The Lord Jesus pointed them to His own example, which was humility, not self-promotion. If we would achieve true greatness in God's sight, we must seek to be as much like Christ as possible. Before the message of the day, Dr. Cairns uses today's hot topic to ask the question, why is the world silent on Hindu genocide of Christians?
Hindu fanatics have been launching one attack after another on any who profess to be Christians in the Indian state of Orissa. Their violent activities have been well reported and documented. Now they have issued an ultimatum to all Christians in that state. Convert to Hinduism or die. Given the recent murders of Christians, no one can take this threat as anything but a deadly serious statement of intent. And such is the barbarism and fanaticism of Orissa's Hindus that we can be sure that they will do all in their power to put their intention into operation. The local and state authorities have made no more than token gestures to contain Hindu violence. Those in authority are mostly Hindus. So you have the position that politicians and police are really in sympathy with the murderers rather than their victims. So the violence keeps on exploding, and there's neither the political will nor the military muscle to put an effective end to it. What's worse is that the silence from the West is deafening. Where are the great champions of human rights when you need them? We have people who will howl all day and all night about sodomites being denied the right to contract same-sex marriages, as they want to call them, but they have not a word to say on the subject of Indian Christians being allowed to exercise their right to live. The governments of the United States and of Europe do big business with India. Indeed, the hope of the Indian economy depends to a large extent on getting along with the West. Yet our governments seem to be entirely disinterested in raising the plight of Orissa's Christian population. It's acceptable to raise the subject of human rights with the Chinese, though I must confess, usually in a weak and ineffectual way, it appears that Western nations care more for their bottom line than for any great principle of human rights. But it seems that for some reason, India gets a free pass. The United Nations likes to pose as the guardian of the underprivileged. But have you heard any representations from that body on behalf of India's persecuted Christian minority? Again, the silence is deafening. Perhaps even more reprehensible than the silence of governments and of secular agencies is that of America's Christians. Have we really descended so far into carnal ease that as long as we have our creature comforts, we have little time or interest to spare for our brothers and sisters who are facing death at the hands of Hindu murderers? When last did you hear your pastor pray for the persecuted churches of the world? When last did you pray for them? Remember the Savior's words, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." That's serious. It says that how we treat the poorest of our brethren is really how we treat Christ. Isn't it time Christians began to cry out on behalf of their persecuted brethren? Isn't it time we got the word to Hindu fanatics that the hunting season on Christians is formally closed? Why not ask the Lord what you can do, starting today, on behalf of your persecuted brethren?
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, the emails, the phone calls that we've received from so many of you some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart with His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the Let the Bible Speak audio magazine. This is in CD or cassette form and is similar in content to the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine, containing some of the articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a copy of Let the Bible Speak audio magazine simply by writing to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word, radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you and that you'll join us on our website this week.
No man can write a history of the human race without giving the first and foremost place to the penniless teacher of Nazareth. The story is told of the American skeptic Robert Ingersoll. He was scheduled to give a lecture that was attacking Christ and Christianity. Just before the meeting, he received a letter from an old school friend who had plunged to the depths of sin and depravity, whose life and home and family had been wrecked, and he had been brought to the stupor of drunkenness. And when he was down and out, Christ met him and Christ saved him. And he wrote to Ingersoll a letter along these lines. He said, "Dear old friend, surely you cannot come to this town to attack the Christ who loved this poor sinner, who lifted him when no one else could lift him, who saved him and made him the man he is today." And when Ingersoll read the letter, he changed somewhat the course of his discourse. And he said, "You can find fault with the church, but there stands one supreme. No man can point his finger at Christ and find any fault in him. Who is the greatest figure in history? The Lord Jesus Christ was perfectly aware of His unique greatness, and that's why He chose here the title, the Son of Man. That's an Old Testament description of the Messiah. You'll find it in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Daniel says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion, and glory, and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. That's the title that the Lord Jesus took to Himself. A title that says that all dominion belongs to Me. All preeminence belongs to Me. All glory belongs to Me. The thrones of earth and the nations of earth exist to serve Me. In other words, the Son of Man is neither more nor less than God manifested in the flesh. He is the King of Kings, the natural Lord of all creation, and all the nations must serve Him. That's the title that the Lord Jesus chose. And yet, He says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto. Quite simply, the Son of Man came not to be served, but He came to do the serving. He came as a servant. And as I point out as we go on, the wording that the Savior adopts here is very specific. He came not only as the servant of Jehovah, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy, but He came as the servant of man. That's what's implicit in this 28th verse of Matthew chapter 20. He came as the servant of man. He did not come that men would serve Him. He came that He should serve them, to be their minister. Now He says, you want to be great? Well, here is your model. The Lord Jesus, in effect, is saying to these disciples, men, you're acting as the world acts in the world. Princes are the people who exercise dominion. In the world, the great show their authority over the little people. Greatness in the world is all wrapped up with position, with preeminence, with the exercise of power. That's greatness in the world. And He's saying to these disciples, you are acting in the kingdom of Christ as the ungodly act in the kingdom of darkness. But the kingdom of God proceeds on utterly different principles. In this work, you must set out to be as unlike the world as possible. And you must set out to be as like the Son of Man as possible. I've already referred to that occasion at the Last Supper in Luke chapter 22. If we read those few verses together, the Lord Jesus makes this point very powerfully. We read, there was, verse 24, a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. He that is chief, as he that doth serve. Now listen to this. Luke 22:27. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. I am among you as your servant. So the Lord Jesus is saying, I am now inviting you to look at my person. I'm inviting you to get your eyes off the world's patterns of greatness and importance. And I'm inviting you to get your eyes on me. Men and women, let me tell you, there never was a time when that was more important for the people of God than it is today. Everything connives to draw our attention to the models of the world. I don't want to isolate young people here, because this is true of old people as well. But we can see it very particularly with the young. Television, advertising, everyday newspapers. They all seem to be getting together to put all the pressure, you call it peer pressure, it's just sin pressure. Pressure to conform, to look at the world and say, there's a model. How do I want to dress? I want to look the way he looks. Why? Well, he's great. Why is he great? Because he can play a guitar and make it sound like hell and earth? That's great. Because he can kick a ball or hit a ball out of a ballpark, that's great. Everything is seemingly contriving to get our attention on the models of the world and say, here is your standard for importance. Look like this and you validate your life. Look like this and you are somebody. Act like this and you'll be accounted great. The truth is, if you really are like those, you'll go to hell with them. The Lord Jesus said, get your eyes off them. Even the princes of the world, get your eyes off them. You neither want to look like them, walk like them, talk like them, act like them, or live like them. That's what he's saying. You want a model for a great life. A model for an important life. And let me tell you, at the end of the day, that's what living's all about. Don't tell yourself anything else, no matter how humble you are. Let me tell you, you know it in your soul. You want your life to count. This is what gets people so depressed, downhearted, so frustrated, so discouraged. This is what leads to hopelessness, that there's nothing in their lives, that their lives don't count for anything. They're hardly even a little cog in the wheel. You want your life to count. You want something truly important. You want your life to be something worthwhile. Well then, says Jesus, I'm your model. Get your eyes on me. Get your eyes on me. I wonder, is that where they are this morning? Let me bring it right down to a very simple level. Take the matter of appearance. Do you dress the way you think the Lord wants you to dress, or the way you want the world wants you to dress? Take the things you do. Do you do the things you believe are an imitation of the Lord? Or do you do the things that are an imitation of the world? Take the attitudes you espouse in the home, in your business, and in the church. Are they an expression of what Christ is? Are they the mirror image of the blessed Savior? Or are you simply reliving the ungodliness of the world? Which is it? The Apostle Paul, in that famous passage in Philippians chapter 2, says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." You know what that means? Very simply, you've got to think the way the Lord Jesus thought. Think as He thought. Esteem things as He esteemed them. Judge righteous judgment as He judged. Let this mind be in you, which was in Him.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.